think we can start now. So, a couple of years ago, I wrote a series of blog posts, advent calendars, on the theme of Pearl in 2020. And it was basically on the subject of what it feels like to be writing Pearl in the year 2020 with all of our fancy syntax modules and things, with also the core Pearl signatures, with the is a operator, a few other bits and pieces. And that's I'll post that link somewhere later for people to see it. But the final post of that, I sort of imagined what it would be like to be writing Pearl in the year 2025. And then followed that up with a talk at FOSDEM last year called Pearl in 2025. And I basically summarized that with a list of feature ideas and things. Just sort of, there it is briefly. There were a few ideas of new syntax control flow things like match case. There were a bunch more operators that I thought of, and stuff like multi-sub. And basically it was this whole big collection of here's some interesting stuff. So what I thought I'd do is talk about how far we've got with some of those ideas so far and kind of what are the next things that I'm thinking of doing. So over the past year, as you'll probably know, we've been developing Pearl 5.35 development series. That's going to come out and be 5.36 in May, we're hoping, as on every year so far. And this year in particular, we're adding quite a lot of new features. A lot of these features have been driven by a brand new process that we have called the RFC process, which is primarily a process around people who write documents and so on. But this process isn't at all driven by code, it's driven by the people. So it's totally separate from Pearl. It actually lives in its own GitHub repo that's basically just a bunch of markdown. Currently there are 12 accepted documents on that. There's a couple of them that are pending and being discussed and so on. And of those, six of them have now been fully implemented in 5.36.
What?
Hopefully that feedback's not... Okay. So the documents, the features that we have so far, just in brief there, we've got a multiple variable for each loop. So you can put for each on multiple variables. I'll show you that in a minute. We've got deferred blocks. We've got stable booleans. We've got a namespace for adding more built-in functions. That's now finally a lot easier to add things. A couple more bits at the end here. We've later differences. Got a command line flag for activating slurp mode. So rather than doing line at a time, you get the whole document in one go. And there's a built-in that goes along with the multiple variable for each, really, for doing indexing on an array, play that mode. So, for example, here, the deferred blocks, they also allow the try-catch syntax to have finally blocks. So now you can write try-catch finally. And underlying those are really the same as defer blocks, which you can just add, you can just write directly like this with the use feature defer, put some code in there. And that runs... That runs the defer block, the code inside the block runs later whenever the scope gets finished. It's a thing that people seem to like doing. It's quite a nice little tidy addition there. We've got this namespace for built-ins. So a lot of things, a lot of functions that people would usually be pulling in from things like scalar util and so on, we've started pulling them actually into core. So you don't have to use any module at all. You just always have a function called built-in ref type. It's just always there now. Well, additionally, if you want, you can go use built-in, same as use scalar util or whatever, and it pulls in an alias into your namespace, so you don't have to write it fully qualified. But it's built into the Pearl interpreter, so you don't have to load it from disk. It's just always there, and they run a little bit more, a little bit faster, more efficiently because of the way they're implemented. But fundamentally. Yay, good thing, we have some built-in functions. We also have real Boolean values now. So we have these two new keywords, true and false, that, again, they're just built-in functions. They give you values that are true and false. We also have this function isBool to test is it a Boolean. And that's a proper, real value type now. So it's not just a special property of only the actual true and the false. If you just store it in a variable in a data structure somewhere, you can now reliably tell this is a Boolean. So that's very useful for things like, you know, JSON encoders and so on. You know, we don't have to do that horrible JSON Boolean trick anymore. We can now just have real Booleans in the language that encoders can actually notice. So that's very nice. And possibly the biggest headline feature of 5.36, signatures are no longer experimental. You can now write use feature signatures and just use a signature. And you don't get a warning anymore. However, we would very much prefer you to write that use v536, because that does the same thing, but in more detail. That's the v536. Please start doing that kind of thing, because it's very much the way that you should be writing Perl code. And one of the things that we're still going to do for 536 is go through a lot of the documentation and sort of all over the place and just really hammer this home. Use version is the thing you should be doing. Because as well as turning on signatures, it turns on isA and, you know, all of the other features that are that have always been around in Perl, postfix deref, fold case, you know, all say, you know, way back from 5.10, it turns on all of those things. It also starts turning off things that we have been wanting to turn off for a long time and think are a bad idea. So if you go use 536, it turns off indirect, that horrible the horrible indirect syntax that basically confuses people and nobody ever seems to actually want. So rather than having to pull in the CPAN module indirect so that you can go no indirect, this is part of use v536. It just turns that off. It also turns off switch and smart match, because basically those were terrible ideas and need to disappear. So overall, use v536. You get lots of good features, love all the bad features. Definitely the way you should be doing. In the 2025 talk, I talked about a whole bunch of interesting syntax ideas. Some of these I've now started writing up as CPAN modules. So there's a CPAN module called syntax keyword match that adds this syntax. Looks very much like a sort of a switch block that you get in a lot of the C-like languages and so on. But we call it match just because I have kind of vague future plans to do more exciting things with it. So we'll call it match case. And that kind of, you know, does the obvious work that it looks like there. So what's next? What are we going to do in 5.37? So I'll start thinking about the object system. That's based on Karina from Ovid. I think Ovid did a talk earlier today about that, so probably a lot of people will have seen at least part of what that's about. I've been implementing it as a CPAN module called ObjectPad. So that'll be kind of the main thing to think about in 5.37. Also, I want to get in a few optimizations of various things, just generally speed things up, make them nicer. And another one of the RFCs in particular I want to look at is about string operator overloads. So objects, as I said, I've been implementing a lot of the initial ideas in a CPAN module called ObjectPad. That's been around now for a number of years. And I would like to at least start by moving a lot of the simple stuff into core Perl. So I'm hoping at some point by 5.38, you'll be able to go use feature class and then just write this class syntax. And that will just create this nice simple structure object that you can just create by, you know, it has a constructor, you pass in named parameters to the constructor, and then you can read out fields from it. So nothing particularly shocking or groundbreaking, but it'll be a good start into the object system. I also want to do a bunch of performance optimizations because it turns out there's a lot of things that are a little bit slow at the moment, or at least I think could be done faster. So very common code like this, just assigning a constant into a lexical variable. Turns out in the Perl interpreter, that runs as three distinct steps. It fetches the variable itself, it creates the constant value, and then it assigns the value into the variable. And I think that could be optimized away into just one op. So rather than doing three separate steps, it'll just do one thing, just be a little bit nicer. So you won't have to write any changes to your code. It'll just run faster. I've got a project for that. Also, so two things I mentioned that are new this year are being able to do for each or multiple variables at once, and this indexed function that gives you, that takes a list and it returns it returns a list double the length that's got the index and the value at each point. So it means that you can very neatly write that if you want to iterate over an array and you want to know what the index of each item was as well as the actual value. You can now write that with this syntax. But because those are two very late added features, they work, but they don't work together as efficient and optimally as they could. So again, at some point during 538, I want to have a little optimization attack on that and see if I can make it as efficient to run as for each just over a plain array, because Perl already optimizes that case, and that one runs really efficiently. So hopefully we can tidy that. And then the last thing I want to look at in 538 is the string operator overloads. So in core Perl, we do have a lot of object types like big int and big rand and so on that are numbers. And they have lots of operator overloads on addition and subtraction and square root and sine. Basically, all of the maths operators have nice overloads so that you can use these objects and they remain as nice objects. Perl is a stringy language, but for some reason we don't have operator overloads on most of the string operators. They just seem to be missing. And so because of that, there are no actual object types provided by core that act as nice strings. But an example of one is my CPAN module string tagged, for example. So string tagged, the objects kind of behave like strings, but there are additional attributes that you can associate with bits of the string. So for example, you can put colors on them and then you can print them to the terminal, say here in color. And that on its own works fine. But things like the join function, because join is not overloadable, you can just string concat these things together and they work. But if you try to call the join core function to join those together, it loses the fact that it's an object. Similar with substra, if you the objects actually overload they actually provide a substra method to work around this. So they have a substra method, and you can call substra on it, and it gives you back a part of the string that's still this fancy object that still knows how to print in color and so on. But if you just use the core substra function, then again, it loses the fact that it's an object, which means that you can't just pass these fancy strings to some piece of code that just takes strings and expect to get the right values back. It's not going to work. So that's a thing that I would very much like to fix and have real substra, because so I've written a CPAN module that does that, but it's very, very messy and horrible and hacky, and it would be much nicer done in core, because we could then support join and substra and regex operations and so on. And basically that would mean that you can take any piece of code that operates on plain stringy text, of which there's a lot in Perl, and you can then start passing in fancy objects and have them remain as fancy objects and do all of their stuff. So that would be really a nice thing to add. So that's really the stuff that I want to get in 538. So looking further ahead, just sort of less vaguely, less concretely, I want to continue looking at objects, because there's a lot more stuff we can do with them. I'll start thinking about a type system, because that's always a fun thing to think about. And I want to start thinking about the version number. So objects, as I said, we've been starting to implement stuff out of Object Pad. Well, there's still a lot more stuff in Object Pad that we could bring in yet. There's roles, there's the meta classes, the thing called the mop, the sort of the way that you can write code that constructs object classes and things. Method modifiers, and there's probably a lot more stuff, a lot more ideas that are going to start turning up. I mean, this is going to be a multiple year project. We're not just going to get the whole thing in one go. So over time, there'll be more ideas, more thinking, add yet more stuff in newer versions of Perl. I want to start looking at a type system as well. Now, People always talk about a type system and what they want. And I spent a while in the FOSDEM talk last year, kind of going into details about different things that different people might think of as type systems. But the approach that I'm thinking of looking at is based on type assertions. So places where you can tell Perl, here I have a variable, but I expect it to be a certain shape, a certain thing. Like, it should be, I've decided hexagonal here is just a totally random suggestion of a type that somebody might decide to define. It's just a silly example. But if you can say this variable has this particular type, then Perl will start to complain when you assign values into it that aren't of that type, aren't that thing. And since we have function signatures, we might as well be able to annotate those in there. And if we're going to add objects, we might as well think about having fields and parameters to methods with these type assertions. But I'm not quite sure that notation is actually best, because there's a bunch more stuff. If we instead were to write it with this is infix operator, so that's kind of new syntax. But I think if we did it that way, we'd be able to use the same system for even more stuff and do even more powerful things. So for example, type assertions, as rather than just saying, oh, this thing doesn't match this type, you're doing something wrong, go away, we can start to make actual decisions based on what type of thing we're looking at. So for example, we might put it into the match case syntax. So because we have this is infix operator, suddenly we'd be able to match a value and say, is it of this type, is it of that type, is it whatever, and perform one of the case labels based on the type. We'd potentially then allow things like conditional catching of exceptions. We'd say we'll only catch certain exceptions. And we might start thinking about having a multi-sub keyword where we say, we're just going to define this whole function multiple times and give different definitions for if the argument looks like this or looks like that or whatever, then do these things. It's a bit similar to match case done at the function level. So that's the sort of shape of thing that I'm thinking about as a type system. But it's still, this is more or less the most detail I've ever written down about it. Moment. I haven't really thought too much about what it's going to look like yet. And then finally, the ever elephant in the room, I want to think about the version number, because, last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was, we investigated, can we change the version, the major version number beyond 5? Turns out, yes, we can. There's now the kind of the question of when we should. Because versions so far, we've had 5.36 is coming out, 5.38 probably will be next. Maybe we'll do a 5.40 after that. But by this point, we're starting to add lots of new features. Like, we're going to have objects and types and real Boolean strings, numbers, distinctions, and so on and so forth. So maybe at the end, we'll decide not to call it 5.42. Maybe we'll decide, actually, we've put so much into here, we will call it 7. And so maybe at some point fairly soon, we will just bump that major version when we decide we've got enough major features in here. But that's a decision to be made sort of later when we decide that we've got enough. I keep saying we all the time. So who are we? Well, we are the Perl Steering Council. This is another new thing that's turned up sort of in the last year or so. It's currently made of 3 people, Neil Bowers, Paul Evans, and Ricardo Sinyes. We voted in every year just after every Perl release. So whenever there's a release, we have another voting cycle and people get voted. That one is me, by the way. So I'll just quote out of PerlGov what the Steering Council is. The Steering Council has broad authority to make decisions about the development of Perl language, the interpreter, and all other components, systems, and processes that result in new releases of the language interpreter. There's a nice fancy sentence from PerlGov. What that really means is that we're setting the direction for the language overall. and sort of resolving various arguments and so on. That's sort of the overall goal here. And things like the RFC process are very much a reflection of what the overall goal of the PSC is for. So we created the RFC process as a way to say, people at large, here is a way that you can suggest your ideas and you can get your ideas implemented. And so I think very much people should be using that. So two takeaways from this talk really is, use version is good, use V536 on all your code, and the RFC process. If you've got ideas that you want to put into Perl, write us an RFC and suggest it. And with that, I am done. Thank you. And there's a link to these slides if you want it. So I guess...
Yes, first of all, thank you very much, Paul, for the interesting view on the further development. I've moved to a more quiet room. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, yeah.
Good. Let me start with the first question from the chat about the types. Do you have any insight on whether the types will be algebraically composable, like in Haskell or TypeScript, or
whether they will be
composable, like if you can build on one type to create another type?
I hope so. So if you go back and look at the FOSDEM talk that I did, there was a slide where I was talking about the idea that core Perl would provide sort of very vague classifications of values. But the idea would be that you can then build on top of those to further restrict them down. And so you can say, I want an object, but the object should be of this type. Oh, and this field should have this value, and so on and so forth. Composable types tend to add a few more exciting features, like saying you can take two different types and it has to satisfy both, or you make disjoint types where you say, here is a type and we will permit that thing or this thing or this other thing. Maybe that. I mean, we don't have that many operators left. I spent a while thinking about whether you could use the same operators, because sometimes it feels natural to be able to use things like the plus or the multiply operators, or the pipe for the or and the ampersand for the and. But the syntax does start to get a bit confusing, so I don't know. Abilities, yes, I think it'd be nice to have that ability. Quite how it's written and spelled out in syntax, I don't know yet, because there's not much space left in Perl syntax.
Yeah. Speaking about speaking of Perl syntax, something you couldn't have noticed in the local room here, there was applause when you mentioned that signatures are no longer experimental. So, yeah, they are very welcome.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah. I sort of paused and I imagined there'd be a reaction in the room. Because it's been a very long time coming. I mean, I should add as a slight caveat to that, in 536, they're not going to be quite the same as they have been in every Perl previously. So for a long time, they've not been stabilized because Dave M in particular had some exciting plans of things that he wanted to do with the net, but just hadn't got around to it yet. And in the meantime, we were thinking, well, look, can we just stabilize these because we want them stable? So we've come to a compromise situation where they're no longer stable, but if you write a signature sub, then you can't use the @_array inside that sub anymore, because we want the flexibility to do something, basically get rid of it, make it more efficient. We haven't got around to doing that yet. So at this point, if you write a signature sub in 536, you will get a warning if you try to use the default arguments array, the @_array. And it will just warn you that we're still fiddling with that and we're going to get rid of it at some point soon, so you shouldn't rely on it. But other than that, they are non-experimental.
Okay, and there's one final question by Martin. Will we see a distinction between Perl the language and Perl the executable?
Oh, that's an exciting question. I don't imagine so. I mean, Perl has always been effectively an implementation-defined language. You know, there's never been a particularly formal spec. It's just it does what this binary happens to do, and occasionally we decide, whoops, that behavior was a bug. Let's go and fix it. But it's always had this kind of gray area of you know, there's no formal spec. I'm not aware of any thoughts or plans to change that. I think that's just the nature of the language, I think. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Okay, thank you. There are no more questions from the chat, and unless somebody now quickly cool. types something, thank you very much.
Well, I'll be around on the chat for a while.
That's great. So, yes, thank you for your talk and your time. And I hope you can also enjoy the parts of the conference still ongoing. See you, Paul.